this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
And go to Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 22, which is our anchor scripture for the month of February. And I'm also thanking God because that's the anchor scripture for the year 2021 that God has given our Father in the Lord. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. We need to go very fast. Why the earth remained, please underline the word, why the earth remained, seed time and harvest. Look at the word seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's the statement, that's the standard of the scripture. Is that right? Do we agree? Now go to Genesis chapter 45, verse number 6. Don't forget what we have in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 6. Are you there? I'm going to read. Okay, thank you. For these 2 years, this was Joseph talking here. For these 2 years, have the famine be in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which neither early no harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, well, we've all read in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. Scripture says, seed time and harvest shall not cease. When you get to 45, verse number 6, there was a situation on the land, there was a situation on the heart that made Joseph to announce to his brethren that came to visit him in Egypt that, look here, guys, there are going to be 5 good years. That there will not be harvest, but that contradicts what we have in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. Because God has said, seed time and harvest shall not cease. But there was a proclamation, a promulgation that made Joseph to say, well, it might have been said that seed time and harvest shall not cease, but I have an announcement for you. There is a particular famine that is coming on the world. There will not be harvest in 5 years. God also understood that there was not going to be harvest in 5 years. So He had made a provision to circumvent this famine. He did what we call a store harvest. If there was not going to be harvest in the land where the children of Israel would be, He has made an arrangement for harvest to be found in Egypt. Instead of them suffering the famine that will come upon the surface of the earth because there was no harvest, He made an arrangement that they will go and meet what we call store harvest somewhere. It may not be what they sow, because it is the statement is whatever you sow, you are going to reap. But these guys, if they sow in this 5 years window, nothing will happen. But God decided, in order for them not to pay for the famine that is coming upon the surface of the earth, He decided that there is going to be harvest for them somewhere, and that will be in Egypt. So He led them to where a store harvest is, in order to escape the curse of famine that was coming on the earth. One prayer point, you make it loud and clear. Several years ago, 1999, to be very precise, I came to Ibadan. I was cursing with a friend of mine at number 33 Agbo, Major Salahu Street, Agbo, in the afternoon of one faithful day. I wanted to pray a provision for a store harvest. If you are in church on Wednesday, where our Father the Lord led us, He led us to a place, He led us to a prayer. He said we should pray that God will lead us to our prepared place, a prepared place of harvest. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. It was a story I was involved in. They didn't tell me. I was directly involved. In the afternoon of one faithful day, some people came to meet me and they brought a case to me. The case looked somehow, and I'm not asking you, please, to give your judgment. A man left home that day, left his wife, left his children, and disappeared. What was the problem? He has a wife who was smoking fish along Agbo Road. He was selling smoked fish. She was selling smoked fish. That faithful day, that woman went to one cold room along Agbo Road. And normally what she used to do is she would go there, collect a carton of fish on credit, come back, smoke the fish, and return the next day, sir, to pay for her to be given another one. On this fateful day, she went out as usual, trek to that cold room in the road. She got a carton of fish as usual. When she got home, I was not told I was involved. 1999. So when she got home, she opened up the carton of fish. and she discovered that by the side, the fishes were packed, were placed at the side of the carton. But in the middle, at the center of the carton, was a neatly packed note, currency, in a cellophane bag. She has never seen that kind of that kind of currency in her lifetime. So she picked one bill, dropped the one bill, carried the carton of fish back to the cold room in Iwo Road. I was involved. When she got to Iwo Road, met the manager, told the manager that, look, I came here for a carton of fish, but this one is not even up to what the fish I saw inside the carton was not even up to one quarter. That when the manager saw, he said, oh, madam, it was a mistake. Gave her two cartons, chartered a cab to bring her from Iwo Road to Agbowo. She thought she had eaten it. And she came home. As soon as she came home, she met her husband, who was a gardener in Bodija. I was involved. When the gardener came, and when the man didn't meet her at home. So the man asked, what happened? She went and brought out this bill. It happens to be a $100 bill. 1999 ago. The man looked up. I'm not asking. Hold on. Lead me to where harvest is waiting for me. Are you there? The man shouted and said, I used to see this currency with my boss in Bodija. Where is the carton of fish? The woman said, is it money? I've taken it back. You took it? What about? They drove themselves to Bodija in a hurry. Iwo Road in a hurry to the cold room. Ladies and gentlemen, the manager has disappeared till today. And when the husband got home, she became very angry and also disappeared. He said, "Mi o ni je ko kori buruku ti e ba mi." Right? Discover you are a carrier of ill luck. So when he disappeared, they brought the matter to me. They were asking me, Pastor, as a Christian, what are you going to do? I said, leave that between me and the Holy Ghost. Number one prayer. I said, madam, you are very stupid. Why don't you go? Why did you not go and meet your pastor and tell him? You took a decision unilaterally. You are now asking me whether a servant of God should lift your voice. Number one. I know what I will do. No. I told my wife when I saw, I said, please don't ever take any decision without consulting me. I am the chief interpreter of Bible in this house. Where harvest is waiting for me. Where harvest, you will lift up your voice. I like you to please shout. Are you ready? Do I have somebody who wants to say amen? You will lift your voice and say, oh Lord my God, it is not loud enough. Oh Lord my God, lead me to where harvest is waiting for me. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice and do prayers. 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 I'd like you to please pray. I'd like you to please pray. If there is not going to be harvest, there is a provision for you. If there is not going to be harvest, there's a provision for me. If there's not going to be harvest, there's a provision for you. If there shall be no harvest, there's a provision for me. There's a provision for you. This is our year of harvest. There is a stored harvest waiting for somebody under the sound of my voice. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Lord God of heaven, we thank you because we know you have made provision that your word will ever be fruitful and faithful. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Here I stand again. I'm asking, oh Lord, that your word will come life and direct your people today in the name of Jesus. And your name alone shall be glorified. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. May please be seated. 10 minutes gone in my time, and I'm spending 20 minutes. I'd like you to please listen very attentively. I must see a servant. I'm not. I sincerely appreciate God. Again, I'm going to say it very emphatically, that I'm given an opportunity to stand to speak here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the subject that I've entitled. The title of the subject of the discussion of this morning was what I picked from I, Father, and the Lord several years ago, I came into the auditorium. It was a long, my few years in Lighthouse. Sat down somewhere, I think under the gallery, I cannot say specifically now. And when the servant of God made this, he came up and he said something. He said, every deed is a seed. That's the chorus, you know it in Lighthouse. So, every deed is a seed. Every deed is a seed. He echoed it and said it several times. So when I was told I would be ministering today, looked up and down, I waited on God. I felt in my heart that I'll be speaking on the subject I've entitled to, every deed is a seed. It is not my topic. It is God's servant's topic. I'm only going to supply the body. Hallelujah. Every deed is a seed. Every deed is a seed. Every deed is a seed. Genesis chapter 8. Let us go. Verse number 22. That's where we read from. Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22. Please listen very attentively, because that is the scripture we are considering this particular year. It happens to be our anchor scripture. If you have our sticker, you're going to find out that's the scripture we have on our sticker. Every deed is a seed, is the title of the subject this morning. While the earth remained, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. This particular statement happens to be the last statement in that chapter of the scripture. But there is no way you are going to talk about this statement, this particular verse, without referring to the preceding verse. God's servant told us, you don't understand God, you understand God backward. There is no way you are going to talk about this scripture that you are not going to look at the preceding verse, the first preceding verse, the second preceding verse, and I think the third preceding verse. Let us go to verse number 21 to look at why this statement in verse 22 was made. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart. It was therefore not a discussion between God and anybody. It was a discussion between God and himself. Scripture says, and God said in his heart. So what you read in verse number 22 was what God said to himself, was what God spoke within himself. So it wasn't that God communicated it to Noah. It wasn't that God was speaking to the people of the nations of the heart. God spoke to himself. When you talk about harvest, you must first of all convince yourself that harvest is possible. I will not again look at the scripture. I will not again cast the ground anymore for man's sake. I will not again cast the ground anymore for man's sake. Underline the word man. This is to say, please listen very carefully, that the ground, if the ground has not offended me, there is no point in the ground repaying for what it has not done. That scripture means I will no longer curse the ground again for man's sin. So if man sins, I will curse him. I will deal with him, not the ground. Are you there? Number two, the Bible says, because the imagination of man's heart is evil, blah blah like that. Neither will I again, another thing, smite anymore every living thing as I have done. Every living thing is saying whether you have sinned or you have not sinned. Because what happened in the issue of Noah? If you look at the scripture very well, the Bible says, God looked at Noah and said, Noah, it is you, only you have found righteous on the surface of the earth. And because I found you righteous, it was God who told Noah that Noah was found righteous. So Noah went into the ark with three of his boys, with his three children and his wife. And so God wiped off every living thing on the surface of the earth. Question number one, what was the offense of a year-old baby that was killed in the flood? What did a two-year-old baby do that made God to wipe him off? What was the offense of a three-year-old baby who has not reached the age of accountability, and yet God wiped every one of them off? So after this encounter, God now said, I will not again, that's why you have in verse number 21, I will not again smite every living thing as I have done. In natural sense of the matter, God was saying, if a living thing has not offended me under normal condition, I won't smite it. Is that right? God was saying, if the ground has not done anything wrong, I will not smite it. Why did God say this? In verse number 20, let's go to verse number, a preceding verse. Verse number 20, let's go. And Noah, like God has been using our Father and the Lord to tell us, we need to build an altar. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering unto the Lord. Noah looked at what God did. Noah understood that is coming out of the ark was nothing but a sheer divine providence that spared his life and spared the life of his children. If you look at the construction of the ark was a ship without a steering. What was it that kept the ark from being driven into the ocean and be lost? There was a mighty hand, an invisible hand that guided and guided and guided and guided and guided and guided and guided the ark until the ark eventually stopped at a place where Noah could come out. Noah never had any contribution to the ark. He never had any contribution to the direction of the ark. If you read the scripture very well, God so much arranged that the ark was constructed without a steering, so that the steering of the ark will not be in the hand of Noah, but in the hand of God. Your life is not in your hand, it's in the hand of your maker. When doctor was talking the other time that there were 39 sperm, whatever, were you the one that guided yourself to the place where you were able to strike the egg? No. The hand that ensured that you were the one that hit or struck the egg is still in operation. It will guide you onto your own harvest. So the ark was successfully guided until it landed at the place that made Noah to come out. So as soon as Noah came out, Noah looked without anybody telling him to offer or to give offering, without anybody telling him to sow seed. He just looked unto God and said, "My God, you are the one who did this. Therefore, I am going to give an offering. I'm going to offer an offering to appreciate you for what you have done." A grateful man will never lose his harvest. So Bible says, Noah offered, having considered what God has done. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have anything to thank God at all, thank him because he's in charge of your life. He understands where your life and where you are heading to. After this encounter, Noah did something. God did something. What Noah did here, the deed of Noah in this place was a good one. Is that all right? What Noah did was a good one. So the deed Noah did, I'm going somewhere this morning, please follow me. Noah's deed here was very fantastic. That made God to smell a sweet savour and made God to make the proclamation he made in verse number 22. That while the heart remained, seed time and harvest, blah, 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 she shall not see. So it was a result of what Noah did that made God to go ahead and do what he did. So Noah, in this particular statement of the scripture, did what was good. The same Noah. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 20. For man's sake. Are you there? Let's make it very fast. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Verse number 21. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. Is this one a good one? Answer me now. No. The same Noah did a deed that made God to pronounce blessing. The same Noah did another thing that made him to harvest nakedness and shame. The same man did what brought her down the blessing of God. Every deed is a seed. Did something that made God to pronounce blessing. The same man went ahead and did another thing that God was not very convenient and comfortable with. And scripture says this led to him being uncovered. Of course, when somebody is uncovered, you know, when somebody is naked, he will be ashamed. The same man doing the same thing. But that is not even my problem. My problem is if you read this scripture very far, you read down this scripture, you are going to find out that the Bible, and we see it together, you following me? You're going to find out if you go to verse number 22, you're going to find out that Noah woke up from his sleep, and the Bible says, "I'm the father of Canaan," blah, 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 blah. When Noah woke up from his sleep, what Noah did was contrary to what God said in Genesis chapter 8, verse number 21. God has promised that he will no longer curse the ground for our sake. But when Noah woke up from his sleep, woke up from his drunkenness, the Bible says Noah placed a curse on Canaan, who was the son of Ham. It was Ham that saw his nakedness. It was not Canaan that saw his nakedness. It goes on to say that when God said, I'm not going to punish, listen carefully. When God said, I'm not going to punish man for what? When God said, I'm not going to punish ground for the sake of man, God already exonerated those who have not done anything wrong. But at this particular instance, man came on the scene. Understand this thing very clearly. Every man, every one of us, have an ability or a compendium of being things that are good and things that are bad. A man to see today can do something good. The man you see tomorrow can do something evil. No man is 100% good. No man is 100% evil. If you look at somebody and say, excuse me, this guy is an evil genius, there are some men who will tell you, were it not for the fact that this man came alive, I wouldn't have been where I am today. So to them, that man is good. If you look at someone and say, he's very good, there are people who are going to say, what are you talking about? As far as I'm concerned, he's an evil person. So a man can do something good, an evil deed, a good deed, the same man can do something that is called an a good deed. So a man can do good deed, and not a man can do evil deed. Every of those things, we are talking about your action, your acts, your behavior. Every of those deeds will incur or provoke harvest at one point or the other. There is nothing, no deed of a man that will go without provoking harvest. Looking at the scripture. So this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I want to look at one man in the scripture. A man that went through this process. When you go through the pages of the scripture, you are going to find out at one point or the other, one man will do something good. The same man will go ahead and do something that is bad. One man will do something good. He will go ahead and do something that is bad. So I will look at a man that will quickly jump onto me. As I begin to look at this scripture, I want to please follow me, because I will ask you to do some prayers before I close. Listen, a man in the scripture, if I mention his name, every one of us will know him. This what, honestly speaking, you will say very bad. And it became a subject that today, wherever you go, you just hear, this man was cursed. This man was cursed. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 3. Let's make it fast. And we're going very fast now. 10 minutes. Hallelujah. All right. Reuben. Last week, our father and the Lord led us, and we were taught from Isaac. Lessons from Isaac. Let's speak about 4 lessons from this man called Reuben. Please listen carefully. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, verse number 4, unstable as water. Amen. Unstable as water, thou shalt not exist, because thou wentest up to my father's bed, thou divided thou it, you went up to my coach. Don't go to verse 5, listen to verse 4. He said, unstable as water. Jacob did not say, Reuben, you are a Casanova. He didn't say, Reuben, you are a playboy. He didn't say, Reuben, you know, I've been warning you, used to watch pornography. He didn't say that. He said, Reuben, you are not stable. Excuse me, when you know it was not stable, what did you do about it? Are you just know that it was not stable? Have you forgotten that Reuben's maternal grandfather was Laban? Was he a stable man? Eh? A man that changed your home wage 10 times. Was he stable? Eh? No, was he stable? So Reuben's stability could be traced to his maternal grandfather. The father of his mother was Laban. Laban was a very, very unstable man. A man that changed the wage of another man for good 10 times. That man was not stable. So, if he had somebody in his loins, if he had somebody in his generation that was not stable, unstable as water, you knew. Right then, they understood chemistry. Water is not stable. Water exists in 3 different states. It could be solid, it could be liquid, it could be vapor. And under different temperature, when the temperature is cold, water becomes an ice. You are not stable. When the temperature is a bit hot, water turns to liquid. You are not stable. When it's very hot, water turns into vapor. You are not stable. So Jacob understood chemistry then and said, Reuben, the problem you have is number one problem. Your problem is the problem of integrity. The deed that you did was because you have an issue with your character. If you are with us here, you are a Christian. If you are out of here, we don't even know whether you are a Christian or not. So at every particular temperature, you keep changing, you keep vacillating. You are not stable. So because you are not stable, you went ahead and did what you need to do. Number one lesson from this man, watch your character. Integrity test. It's the first thing that determines whether a man will have access to harvest or not. So Reuben became a cursed man because he was unstable. Number two, when you look at this scripture very well, the Bible says, Jacob said, Reuben, excuse me, sir. My question is this, was it only Reuben that committed the thing? Please answer me. Was it only Reuben? Were we told that he was a rape? Where was Bilha? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Reuben. The woman was told where to be found. Men's judgment at times are very, very vast. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. The Bible says, if any man does what Reuben did, both the man and the woman should be killed. How come? And the man that lied with his father's wife had uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be on them. Why did you allow Bilha to escape this? You will find out later. Number two lesson you find out is this. Please and please, two people can commit the same offense but with different consequences. If you think you can join somebody to do something that is wrong, I need to announce to you, my brothers, that ladies and gentlemen, you may be surprised that when judgment are going to be meted out, you may not receive what you are going to receive. Let me quickly run. Number three, that you are going to find out. Please go back to this scripture and let's go to verse number three. That was number four. Let's make it very fast. Verse number four. Oh, Genesis chapter 49, verse. Oh, thank you. And he said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. You are this, you are that. You went and defied my coach and my bed, and because of that, I'm going to place a curse on you. Fantastic, that was good. But you need to find out. Number one, you are going to find out from Reuben, who did this sleep with? I am not making case for Reuben. He didn't hire me to speak for him. When we get to heaven, we are going to begin to ask him some questions. You ask me, the question you are going to ask me is this: who did Reuben sleep with? He slept with a lady called Bilha. Who was Bilha? Bilha was the handmaid of Rachel. He stepped. Mother, are you there? Why did he not go and stay with Zipha, the maid of his home mother? He went ahead and slept with Bilha, who happened to be the maid of Rachel. When did he do it? He did it when Rachel was dead. Why did he do it when Rachel was dead? Ladies and gentlemen, as soon as he did it, the scripture records that Jacob didn't say anything. If you read your scripture very well, you are going to find out that Jacob did not talk. Understand this thing. Men of power. Check your scripture very well. I don't have time to begin to go into that. Please give me 5 minutes. I'm done. When men of power are men of few words, when you discover you have offended somebody, and you really know that you offended him, you know, and the person does not or did not talk, please, it's either the person knows what he will do to hit you, or the person has handed you over to a God that will deal with you very well. After 35 years was what you have in 49 verse 4. He kept quiet. Men of power are quiet men because they won't want to be held responsible when calamity eventually befall you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, I learned a very bitter lesson. As a person, as a young pastor, a servant, a man of God in this town, very great man of God. That was what brought me to our Father and the Lord. I will never forget, I will keep remembering all the days of my life. He did what I felt that he should have done. And I went to him. That time I could still talk. These days I don't talk much. I talk. Honestly speaking, sincerely, with all due respect, he didn't say a word. He was just looking at me like this. I talk. He didn't say a word. At the end of my speech, I said, sir, I'm traveling on Thursday. I'm traveling tomorrow. I will call you back on Thursday. Tell me you have changed your mind. He said, I'm not changing it. I said, if you are not changing, I'm out. He said, no problem. As soon as I stepped out, my wife put a call to me and said, Oh, you didn't. I said, shut up. What do you mean by hope you didn't? I went. I was supposed to go and preach somewhere a week later. They canceled it. Another two occasions like that, they canceled it. I knew disaster is really running after me. I began to pray. I knew something was wrong because it had never happened like that before. I used to, you see, go back there. I felt very uncomfortable. I pray. I was not sinning. There was no public sin or secret sin. But nothing was working. It was as if this man was the owner of the key to my calling and ministry. He locked it and took the key away. When I couldn't find any headway, I came to the servant of the Lord. I came to our Father and the Lord. I met him in the office and I narrated my ordeal to him. And I told him, Barbara, these are the things that I've experienced. He said to me, and I said to him, I know this man is involved. I saw the anointing oil on his shelf. I don't know whether you remember, Baba. I said, Baba Egba, I did it without even taking order from me. I went and picked the anointing oil. I said, take. You see, to cancel his hand upon me. He laughed. He said, you will go back. I said, go back. I didn't want to bury my ego. I have spoken. He said, no, you will go back. He said, we go back and we pick. That's why you see, when you are privileged to have a genuine servant of God, please listen. He said, you will go back. I said, go and do what? He said, you go back. He said, you will take a seed in your hand. And when you get to him, you will prostrate. He said, he will ask you to stand up as if he knew what the man would say. He said, he will ask you to stand up. He said, don't stand up. I took the seed and I went to him. I met him in the office. I said, I prostrated. He sat down. He was looking at me. He said, I said, imagine this. He said, As if God's servant followed me there. Exactly what he said he would say was what he said. He said, Victor, the day. I said, imagine the day. Do you imagine the day? I prostrated. Don't let me stand up. Let me keep prostrating like this. I said, I've come to apologize. And I stretched the seat so that he would know I didn't come to apologize with mouth. When he saw that I did not stand up, he knew somebody must have sent me. He said, what I never had in my life, I had it that day. He gave me history, tongue lashing. In fact, he spoke his mind to a point that he was about shedding tears. So when he finished talking, he said, you can now stand up. I gave him the seat, said, go. When I left, I came back to someone who said, he now said, I can now pray for you. When he prayed for me, a door I never knew could open me just open without knocking. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that Jacob was quiet should have made Reuben to know that he's in trouble. Because if he had spoken out, they would have been able to appease him on time. But the fact that a man is quiet and silent when you have offended him shows that he has a key, a password he will use any moment from now. That's number three, Nessie. Number four, as I begin to round up and close, please listen very carefully. Jacob hated Leah. It was well established. If you look at 49 verse 30, as I'm going to begin, I need to quickly wrap up this. If you look at 49 verse 30, the Bible says in the cave, 49:31. Praise the Lord. 49:31. Thank you. Jacob hated Leah. It was very clear and very, very direct. They knew. God himself knew Leah was hated. That was why they opened up his womb. When in the issue of the mandrake, Rachel wanted the mandrake of Reuben. And Leah said, you took my husband. Are you going to take my son again? So Reuben understood that his mother was hated. Now in verse number 31, the Bible says, Jacob said, Leah, they buried Abraham. And Sarah is what? Can you tell me? Is what? Eh? Leah, they buried Isaac and Rebekah is what? Leah, I buried Leah. My what? Eh? Full stop. I check about 15 translations of the scripture. In fact, one translation, instead of full stop, put dash. So it was very clear, even after the death of Leah, where Jacob still let them know that he didn't like this lady. It's a bad thing if you are married by a person that does not love you. So the Bible says, this is not a good narrative. Abraham and Abraham buried Sarah, his wife. Isaac buried Rebecca, his wife. I bury Leah, my full stop, not my wife. So he never admitted, he never agreed that Leah was his wife. Bible scholars and Bible authorities told us that Reuben knew that his mother was hated. Reuben understood, if you're ever the firstborn of your wife, of your mother, and your mother is from a polygamous setting, there is this love they want to cast on you. So Reuben understood the situation of his mother. And Bible scholars told us, in order for him to defend the position of his mother, so that Jacob will not go and transfer the love of Rachel to Bilhah, he went ahead and slept with Bilhah. In order for Jacob not to be able to move near Bilhah again and focus his mother, who was there. Mistake. Never jeopardize your destiny because of another person. Don't ever sin against God because you want to please any man. Let's do it now. You are my sugar. You know? And that alone, I would have so much liked it if this thing stopped and ended here. But no. First Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. We all thought you will not exist. Let's go very fast. Oh boy. Now, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, For he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defied his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned according to birthright. So that did cost him his birthright. It wasn't that he was not going to excel alone. He was never going to have a portion to the birthright principle in Israel. What is the principle of birthright? If the father had 10,000 when he died, you as the firstborn will take 5. The rest are going to share the remaining 5. But Reuben lost out because of this deed. Every deed is a seed. It's seed time. Everything you are doing now, you are sowing a seed. Every disloyalty is a seed. And will never be. Every unfaithfulness is a seed. Mm-mm. Every lie is a seed. Whatever you do now, you are sowing a seed. I don't know when you are going to reap it. It's harvest time will happen one day. This is one side of this man. I have said every deed is a seed. Are we now saying that Reuben did not have anything good? Do you want to tell me that Reuben didn't do anything that could make him also to receive the blessing of God? Turn your scriptures with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 33. I want to close. Deuteronomy chapter number 33, verse number 4, or verse number 6. Oh yeah, let's make it fast. Okay, short time. Sorry. Deuteronomy chapter number 33, verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 to 21. Let's do it very fast. Genesis chapter 37, verse number 18. Are we there? The Bible says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, talking about Joseph, Bible says, even before he came near to them, they conspire against him to slay him. Is that right? Verse number 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Verse number 20. Come now, therefore, let us do what? And cast him into some pit, and we will send some evil beasts and devour him, and we shall see what will become of his dream. Is that scripture? Verse number 21. And Reuben had it. And he delivered him out of their hands. And said, let us not do what? Please, people of God, let us listen to me very carefully. Every deed is a seed. A man is a compendium of good deed and bad and evil deed. We have read about the evil deed of Reuben, and that's what everybody flocked. That's what they will say. I'm not going to make a case for him. But this same man was the only reason why the meeting in chapter 49 ever took place. If Reuben had agreed, I submit to you this morning, if Reuben had agreed for them to kill Joseph, Joseph would not have had any dream at all. Because the consensus, the agreement between his brethren was that he should be killed. It was Reuben who spoke up and said, let us not kill him. So when Moses was going to bless, he looked into the archives. Look at what everybody has done. Look at what Levi has done. Look at what Simeon has done. Discover that there was a man who was wrongly judged for an evil that, honestly speaking, should not have taken that far as they were about to go into war. War don't kill animals. War don't kill camels. War takes the life of men. And their history book was open, and they discover Reuben at one point in his life did not only sleep with his father's wife, he also made sure that Joseph survived. He has sown a seed of survivor for somebody. He must also reap a seed of survivor. Let Reuben live and not die. Let Reuben live and not die. Let Reuben live and not die. As they are going to be marching into war, and the Reubenites will be advancing, and arrows, bullets, shams, and all of those will be claiming the lives of every other side. The Bible says, let Reuben live and not die. Anybody from the Reubenites, if they strike him with an arrow and he's going as if he's going to die, he will say, remember, Moses, the servant of the Lord, said, let Reuben live and not if any one of them is dying with sickness on the field, he will say, my father did something that is good. My father had a good record. There is something that he did that I can reap from. Let Reuben live and not. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. At that strategic point in life and history, if Reuben's work had not spoken for him, do not forget that he's under a curse of not excelling before. If he failed to excel in that battle, his men are going to die. And if his men start dying, he will be wiped out. So Moses looked into the archives and said, this man also has something good about him. You are not that bad. Even if you don't have something good about you, we have a father in the Lord who has something good about him. We can cap key into that. Let Reuben live and not die. The evil deed that a man has done, because it says why the heart remaineth, is always amplified. And you find out that it is the evil. That's why they come up with the law of karma. It is the evil they always want to remember. What about something good about you? You came to church this morning, that was good. You are going to give offering, that was good. You have been giving tithe, that was good. You will buy this CD, that is good. Let's go ahead and pray. Let Reuben live. Let Reuben live. Let Reuben live. I was looking at this tent and Reuben was in the grave. I could hear Reuben say, Eda lo gbagbe Olorun bi eniyan won le gbagbe orere ta se Olorun gbagbe sa bi eniyan ko. It's not in the Bible. There is a good thing you are supposed to do today. Under the sound of my voice, you are here. I'm closing. I'm done. You are not born again. You don't have Jesus. The only good deed that will come up for you is your salvation today. Do I have anybody under the sound of my voice that want to say, Pastor, I want to do a good deed? Every deed is a seed. If you are in the congregation and you want to say, I want to give my life to Jesus, at least this good deed, I will do it so that when the harvest comes, I will be able to wake up in glory. If you are under the sound of my voice and you are not born again, every eye closed, please raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. The servant of the Lord, wherever you are, will pray for you. If I have anybody under the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask you to come so that the servant of the Lord will pray for you. You are not born again. The only good deed you can do that will warrant your harvest is your salvation. If I have such a person, I will pray.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda Jue Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.